Well, this morning we're going to talk back to school. We've got Trevor Miller, the superintendent at Exira EHK and IKM Manning Schools, with us here on the phone today to talk a little bit about the Return to Learn program. Trevor, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been an interesting time, an interesting situation since March 13th, so we're trying to get ready to go, and we have some plans in place, and we can go over those here in a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been a normal summer.
No, it hasn't. And I want to thank basically both my district leadership team, building leadership teams. They put in a lot of hours and trying to work and come up with our plans, because as everybody knows, the original plans were due July 1st, which we got submitted, and then, you know, when Governor Reynolds came out the 17th and put some changes in, we had to look at our hybrid plans and come up with a plan B along with our original plan of hybrid. So, I mean, our staff's been amazing. I know it hasn't been a regular summer where they can do some of their own professional learning, but they've been great, both districts coming in and helping out and really kind of evaluating what we can and can't do with our districts and the Return to Learn plan.
Yeah, I know it's a little bit frustrating, but it's a difficult time, and we all have to try to make adjustments here and there and be fluid. But usually you're working on these plans with local leadership and local input and stuff, but now you're getting input from every direction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that was the part that we know when the first came out and they said they wanted everything in by July 1st, we're like, okay, we'll put it in and then we'll finalize it, you know, as we get closer on what the year is going to look like. So, I mean, we submitted our, you know, if everybody's required, the distance learning, what that looks like. And we had a hybrid plan and we had an on-site plan. Our hybrid plan, we just have to just adjust, you know, and then we'll have to get permission from the state if, you know, we end up going to that model. Because I know last week they came out with some additional guidance on, you know, what percentage of your population has to be in. Like, if it's 15%, then you could ask the state for some guidance on if you could switch to your hybrid or your remote learning. And if it's above 20, then you can. So it's just... If you ask for guidance and you've already kind of told everybody that they're going to be kind of out remote learning, then they come back and deny it, then according to the most recent thing I've heard is we'll have to make up the time. So it's just, you know, there's got to be a lot of flexibility and a lot of guidance, just because I think 2021 will be a full year unlike any other year, to where we might be in the building some days, we might be in remote learning, we might be doing a hybrid, you know, if you get a large case of exposure. And if you have five or six staff members that, say, Exira, Elkhorn, Kimmelton out with exposure, that might look different than, say, an Atlantic or Council Bluffs with the larger number of staff. So I think there's going to have to be a lot of creativity and a lot of flexibility this year to hopefully be able to do the best education possible for our students. And that's our goal, is to provide what the best opportunity for our students and districts to each communities.
Right. Now, you've got two school districts that you're superintendent with, Exira EHK and IKM Manning. Are you largely doing the same at both districts?
Yeah, we came up, we're pretty similar, both districts. A little bit the on-site, we're planning on everybody coming back on August 14th, and it's going to be, you know, it's on a Friday. We're going to do a trial run, kind of, where to get the kids in the building. We're going to have a 1:30 dismissal and sit down afterwards with our district leadership teams and say, okay, what worked, what didn't, because, you know, as you have your best laid-out plan in front of you, until you have people in the building and actually run through it, you're not sure what's actually going to happen, because things you might think will work great don't. Things you might be like iffy on might turn out well. So, I mean, that's kind of where both districts are starting the 14th. And then we have a little leeway if you're looking at our calendars. We're going to go the first 3 weeks. We're going to go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And Wednesday is going to kind of be a distance learning and also collaboration for our staff to figure out where our students are at. I mean, our both school boards kind of looked at it and said, well, let's give the staff some time to figure out, you know, after assessments or actually, you know, with social and emotional, and what our options are and where our students are at, because a lot of them, like I said, we haven't seen since March 13th. I mean, we had the virtual in the spring, and we had some participation, but it wasn't, you know, 100%. So, I mean, we're not sure how much gaps there'll be with some of our students. So the first three Wednesdays, 19th, 26th, and the 2nd, there's going to be no actual on-site learning that day. It'll be where they'll have distance learning, they'll have projects, and then we'll have, you know, staff in and working on plans and how we can incorporate and accelerate the gaps to make sure our students are where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And get them used to the new protocols, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll be the big thing that, you know, usually you go through your PBIS, how to walk in the halls, how to see, you know, cafeteria, bus seat, and all that. This year is going to be a little different. It might be, you know, what the expectation is, they have masks on. It's not the word required. We're just expecting them to have masks. And then, you know, as we talked about busing, if they have masks on, then we can fit two in a seat. If not, it looks different. So if it's going to be, okay, going with the mask, that doesn't mean you get to hand it to your buddy. It doesn't mean you get a switch mask. Also, you know, hand sanitizing. Okay, so what soap and that, how many times we're going to wash the hands? What's that going to look like? How do we keep our hands to ourselves? So the first couple of weeks are going to be a lot of going over expectations and training because, you know, some of our younger students, you know, haven't been out and about with a lot of their friends, so they'll just want to see their friends, and they're going to have to be, okay, so that's what this looks like, and how do we do it, and then how do we, you know, be able to educate our students, the whole student, you know, social, emotionally, and make sure they're taken care of academically as well.
Oh, absolutely. How disinfecting, all those kinds of things, how is that going to be handled?
That's going to be handled by everybody. Our custodians will have a huge part, you know, on Wednesday they'll be doing a deep cleaning when we're not here. After school they'll be doing a different spray that, you know, you can let and it sit for longer. We're going to also have, you know, where students wipe, well, might have a Clorox wipe if we have enough to wipe down their desk, especially the high schoolers that are rotating classes. You know, the pre-K-8 we're kind of keeping in pods, to where, you know, we can kind of keep more track of them, and they go to lunch or they go to different breaks, we can wipe down at the Oxford, I think is what it's called. It's 1 minute, and then you can wipe it off, and it's taken care of. There's other ones that are 10 minutes. So each staff room will have, like, a bucket with the different ideas in there and hand sanitizer and sprays and that. So, I mean, it'll be a work in progress, but our custodial staff is kind of planning and doing a great job with our nurses and talking with public health and what we can and can't use, because we don't want to use any chemicals that would be harsh to our students or provide long-term effects. So we're making sure everything's on the safety list through the public health and that they're green as much as possible. So we spend a lot of time on that because we know that's a concern of a lot of our parents, of having what surfaces are you going to clean, what's it look like. So buses will be done before and after routes and anytime students get on and off. So there's a lot of things in place, and it'll take a lot more time. And our cafeterias are at, we're looking at having 50% of the capacity in the cafeterias, which creates scheduling headaches where you got to, you know, add another lunch in, which classes are going to eat in the classroom, which ones are going to eat in their room, what's the rotation look like. So there's been a lot of work done. So, I mean, and like I said, the 14th will be the day we look at it and go, man, we did a great job of planning, or wow, we got to go back to the drawing board a little bit. So I think there'll be things on both sides of that issue.
Yeah, well, let's hope we're not going back to the drawing board at that point. But
yeah.
Also, you know, you've got extracurricular activities. We've talked a lot about, you know, we've heard so much about football and fall sports and all those kinds of things. But, you know, there are other things, too, with speech and debate. You've got drama. You've got music. There are all kinds of different mm-hmm. things. And then music seems to be one that a lot of folks are concerned about because of the circumstances with the instruments.
Yeah, and with that, we're trying to be creative with our band instructor and our choir instructor on, okay, we know it needs additional social distance, so it might be that they're using the, like in Exire Elkhorn, they're using our old gym in the Elkhorn building to where they can space out and do different things, and they're kind of talking about if they're going to have marching band even at all, or, you know, what choir looks like, or if they're going to do music theory to talk about, to start with music until, you know, we kind of get a better handle on things and what students look like in the building. So the fine arts are one that, you know, they've done a good job of providing guidance, and so we're going through the guidance on what it looks like. Cause, you know, when they're talking certain things, got to be 9 feet instead of 6 feet. So, you know, if it's nice out, they can go outside and really do social distance. Otherwise, we can look at the gym, and up in iCamp Manning, we can look at using the auditorium as well as being outside when it's nice out. I mean, when it gets to December and nobody's going to be outside, you know, it's 0 degrees and snowing, so we'll have to reevaluate then. But yeah, there's so many different things between sports, fine arts, speech, band, FFA clubs. I mean, there's just so many things that you think of them all, and then somebody brings something else, so then you just got to add that to the list and keep going.
Right. Well, and we talk about the safety and health of the students, which we obviously should very much be concerned about, but, you know, you also have to weigh the considerations of the teachers and staff and folks, too. Those folks might be, well, they're obviously older, but their health might not be as perfect as a young child.
Right, and that's one of the things that, you know, everybody talks about, that some of the younger kids aren't, you know, don't spread it, aren't carriers. I'm not as worried, I mean, because if you've seen a lot of the data shows the younger kids and high school kids don't have the number of cases on that, but it's also, they might not have it, but then if they spread to some of our teachers that have the underlying health conditions, and some of them that have had health conditions have kind of talked to myself and the other administration at what their conditions are, and we've looked at different avenues. Some have put, like, space around them where the kids can't be near them, so they're within that 6 feet. Others have, you know, been creative with their classroom and their setup. So we really got to look out at that. I mean, there's some valid concerns, you know, with staff and parents of, okay, we're not as worried about the children getting sick, but what happens when you have six or seven of your staff members that all of a sudden become positive or exposed? So I mean, that's one that really is worrisome to the superintendents of how do we make sure that, you know, besides our students, that our staff is healthy, because there are staff, you know, that are older or, you know, have underlying health conditions that if they get a positive case, it could really have a negative impact on their quality of health. So, I mean, that's one that, you know, we're trying to do the social distancing. If not, we're looking at the expectation of a mask and the different things that we can do. And, you know, some of them have set up their room differently this year. So it's a lot of creativity and a lot of hard work.
Well, and you've also got the issue of substitute teachers, too.
Yeah, we've had a few of our substitutes, you know, because most every district subs are retired teachers. So we've had a couple call and say right now they're not comfortable coming back. I know the governor, when her proclamation came out, she kind of eased up some of the requirements, but, you know, we also want to make sure we have a qualified individual to be in the classroom, not just a person to fill a body, because that's not good for our students as well. So that's one that, you know, we're working on, and I know we're talking with other districts of their sub list, and everybody's kind of sharing and going, who do you have? Who said they're not coming? What grades do they like to teach better? So that way we can all kind of share in the pod, because, you know, there's not a lot of subs out there this year. I mean, I understand with they're retired, they put in their time, and they're, you know, in that age bracket of the high risk, they were like, I'm just not comfortable yet. And I'm like, I completely understand. So, I mean, that's just, it's going to be creative. And some of our paras are taking the substitute authorization class, and some of them already had the para cert. So we can utilize them when we need to as well. But, I mean, if you get a large number of your staffs out, then we got to look at a different option and a different plan for our districts.
Sure. Yeah, well, there are so many more issues we could talk about, but, you know, you have a plan, and then a plan, and a plan, and you don't know what you know until you know it, I guess, right?
Right, exactly, and that's why we plan, you know, we had like our three plans, but we also have backups to the three plans to the backups. I mean, by the time everybody's like, oh, you got plans A, B, and C, I go, yeah, we also got plans D, E, F, and LMN. So, I mean, we're looking at different options. We know we'll probably have to utilize different plans throughout the year when different things happen, and we also know what's it going to look like when we get to the influenza season of how do you know if a student has A, B, influenza, strep, or COVID. So, I mean, that'll be awesome when we get to that point of making sure that students are, you know, getting tested, going to the doctors. But we are not doing the districts, we are not doing, you know, checking their temperatures when they hit the door. We're leaving that up to the parents and hoping that they do a good job of, you know, testing and keeping the students home this year with symptoms, because as I've told everybody, we got to work as a team this year to make this successful, and that includes everybody, the parents, community, staff, students, board members, administration. Everybody's got to work together to make this be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we do all the best plans we can. Bottom line is we want to give these kids opportunity, and if everybody's smart about it, maybe it'll work.
Very yep, good. Exactly, and that's what we're looking at.
All right. Well, Trevor, thank you so much. That's Trevor Miller. He's superintendent at Exira EHK and IKM Manning Schools. Appreciate the time and all the effort that you and your staff and other associated members have put in here this summer to come up with all the plans so we can get them back into school this fall.
All right. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing our students here in a week, a little over a week next Friday. So we'll see, and we'll go forward from there.